T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan, breaking down everything from the Commanders' first day of on-field OTAs with the media watching. Pretty interesting to watch what's going on out here. But one thing that stood out was that Terry McLaurin was not here. One of the foremost salary cap experts in the world, former NFL agent and a writer and analyst over at CBS Sports, Joel Corey joins us now to discuss. Joel, we do need you to settle a little bit of a mystery for us to start.
Yeah, definitely.
Were you at the Electric Daisy Carnival in Las Vegas over the weekend?
I live in Las Vegas, but no, I was not there. So I like the choice of the lead-in music.
Because that's Joel Corey.
Yeah, during the pandemic, I played a joke on some high school friends and told them that I'd start a new hobby. And would send that song around, and some of them bought it and some of them didn't.
That's terrific.
Oh, man.
Have you and the other Joel Corey ever run into one another?
No, I don't travel in the electronic music circles.
Well, that we appreciate
funny.
Your time, man.
That is funny.
That's a great joke to play on your buddies. Let's talk. I kind of want to go down two avenues specific to the Commanders and the cap before I ask you just some football questions. But a lot of Commanders fans get frustrated at what seems like some NFL team's ability to constantly restructure and manipulate the salary cap to add more talent year after year. And it seems, by and large, the Commanders don't do that. Why are some teams able to and some teams aren't?
So, salary cap philosophy. Some teams will be extremely aggressive, the Saints more so than anybody else, and kicking the can down the road because they think they have a window of opportunity to win a championship. And when you're in that window, you do things where you look more short-term than long-term. It came back to bite the Saints in the butt when the pandemic year hit and the cap dropped down to $182.5 million. They ended up cutting some players that would have kept otherwise had the cap gone up normally like it did. When the cap goes up a decent amount or how it's going to go up in the future, you can outrun it. Mm-hmm. Part of the thing is with this team, the Commanders, they're going to have a bunch of guys on rookie contracts and have to pay for and extend. They got to choose who on the defensive line stays and goes. So part of it might be we know some of that money is going to be allocated to guys in the future, and we don't want to overextend ourselves right now.
Right, but like when I look at the Rams, it's like they playing with Monopoly. You know, they sign every damn body and don't seem to have a problem.
Yeah, they're in a window of opportunity to try to win, and also they're in that F them picks mode where they don't have any first-round picks. They haven't had one since Jared Goff. So that's a whole different extreme where if they don't win it, they won a championship, so no one can ever criticize that philosophy. And then they got a guy like Bobby Wagner who wanted to be there to take a low cap number in the first year. And last year, the only reason they got Von Miller was because Denver was willing to eat $9 million of his remaining salary, so all they had to take on was minimum salary in the trade, gave it more compensation than they would have otherwise to do that, and got Odell Beckham Jr. to come play for dirt cheap when he was free. So when you're a championship caliber club, we saw the Patriots could get guys when Tom Brady was there to come play for below market mm-hmm. or do things they wouldn't do otherwise. The Commanders aren't in that position because they're not viewed as a Super Bowl contender to get guys to come in and take money from this team that they wouldn't take from other places.
That makes a ton of sense. But is there also, and I know how keenly aware of all things in the NFL you are, there's plenty of questions out here in Ashburn about finances and what's going to happen next for a stadium, and on some level even what's going to happen next with ownership. At some level of being willing to restructure and kick the can, like you mentioned, does it also require an owner that will cut just really gigantic checks to push this stuff back? Because eventually the rent comes due, right?
Yeah, the rent comes due, but the cap's going to start going up significantly, maybe not so much in 2023, but 2024 and beyond because of the new TV deals. You can outrun it to a certain extent. Your owner, when he first bought the team, would spend like crazy on the wrong guys, like an old Bruce Smith, an old Deion Sanders, et cetera.
Right.
And then overpaid for Albert Haynesworth, who didn't work out. So there has been a track record, kind of like Dallas used to jump into the free agency market. And it's been almost a decade since Dallas made a huge splash in free agency. So it seems like you get burned, you maybe take a different tact. But, yeah, cash spending is a whole different thing than the cap. Each team has a cash budget. And right now, the Commanders, in terms of their overall cash, it's below league average because according to NFLPA data, they got $193.2 million of cash spent in league average is 212.8. So that's a problem right there. It's just the cash spending more than the cap.
Can it be like when you do extensions and things of that nature, that normally comes with sign-in bonus, can they be a little cash strapped to be able to do those things? That's why it's kind of hesitant to do it.
Well, you gave Jonathan Allen $30 million signing bonus last year, which was for an interior defensive lineman, one of the biggest in NFL history. The question is, do you want a guaranteed base salary so you have to put that money, the future fully guaranteed base salaries, in escrow? That's not going to become an issue for you guys right now, but given Deshaun Watson's contract, it will be for some other quarterbacks if they start seeking that fully guaranteed contract like Watson got, and whether some of the owners that aren't as liquid, maybe Bidwell, won't be able to do that for a Kyler Murray, so to speak.
So let me pull that thread a little bit. We're talking with Joel Corey, salary cap expert and NFL analyst for CBS Sports. You can check him out at Corey Joel on Twitter. The escrow thing's really interesting because I've heard a ton of NFL agents that fight against that, and they say it's a way for ownership to artificially bring down guaranteed money. So a signing bonus is money paid at signing that is then spread out over the life of that contract for salary cap purposes. The escrow is the guaranteed money that has, like, the owner has to put that into an account at the time of signing, even if it's not going to be paid out for a few more years. Is that right?
Yeah, that's essentially how it works. It really doesn't need to be in the CBA anymore. I know the union fought to get it out, and they got an exemption for the first, I think, $15 million, the first part of the CBA, then it goes up to $17 million in the later parts of the CBA. But when I was an agent, I used to have teams tell me we can't do that because we had to fund it. And if I had a dollar for every time I heard that, I could buy a franchise. So it is used as a convenient excuse by teams. Now, I'm curious to see where this goes with, like, a Lamar Jackson, and I say Kyler Murray. Just because if you got a more liquid owner, like maybe Biscotti, and you have Deshaun Watson, who has a cloud hanging over him, getting that massive basketball-type guaranteed contract, if I'm Lamar Jackson, I'm sitting there going, hey, there's nothing you can say about my character. I want an MVP. He hasn't.
Right.
I want that. Derek Carr didn't do his job in trying to advance the ball because he was doing a modified version of the Tom Brady thing, which is do something which is fair for the team, maybe overly fair for the team as opposed to himself. I'm curious about Russell Wilson. That's the interesting one to me because that team's going to be sold. And if Rob Walton buys that team, that's deep pockets. That's Walmart money.
Wow.
He has an agent who is primarily a baseball agent, and Mark Rogers, where contracts are fully guaranteed. And if Denver does really well and he plays out this year and he's in the Matthew Stafford position where they don't get a deal done until he's going to a contract year, and I think Stafford left money on the table, is Russell Wilson going to push for that fully guaranteed contract? Because if none of those guys get one, then Deshaun Watson's an anomaly just like Kirk Cousins was. Mm.
And the quarterbacks are the ones that can get it, to be honest with you, in this day and age.
Yeah, it's got to be a quarterback. You're not going to see a position player get it. And the quarterback, I would have been curious to see what would have happened with would have been Dak Prescott had he played on the second franchise tag like Cousins did and was able to hit the open market unless Dallas was going to put a $54 million franchise tag on him for a third time and what he would have gotten. That would have been what I wanted to see, but you can't argue for a guy who signs for $40 million a year.
No, not at all.
Talking with Joel Corey from CBS Sports. So let's turn it a little more specific to these Commanders. Terry McLaurin is the best player Washington's drafted in some time. He's going into the final year of his rookie deal. He's not at OTAs as the two sides try to work out a contract extension. What do you think that contract looks like, and what do you think the odds are it gets done?
Well, it's going to look a lot different than I thought it would look when the offseason began, that's for sure.
Sure.
If I'm the Commanders, I'm not happy with the Eagles. Because you got a guy in the same draft class, A.J. Brown, who signs for an extension, $100 million over 4 years, $57 million in overall guarantees, $40 fully guaranteed at signing. McLaurin can make a case statistically that I'm just as good, if not better, than A.J. Brown. So you're going to be looking at that neighborhood, most likely. If I'm the Commanders, I'm thinking, well, I don't want to do that because I can franchise you for 20 or right around then. It's going to be in the $20 million neighborhood. Franchise you again for 24. That's an average of 22 over 2. I'm looking more like that if I'm the Commanders. But you got two other guys in the draft class as well, DK Metcalf and Deebo Samuel. And if those guys are 25 a year or north of that, it's going to be hard if you have more data points in that neighborhood for McLaurin not to get there if they want a long-term deal.
When you look at a team, Joel, that they're trying to build something here, you can't let the homegrown talent just walk and keep messing with them. What they seem to do, I was sitting in the union meetings when the franchise tag was developed. It was made to keep your best player. Owners now use it as a deterrent to stop from giving guys long-term deals, so it's it has a negative connotation. You keep giving guys franchise tag for 2 years, you lose those guys, whether it's cheap or not. And then all of a sudden, other people start saying they'll take care of their own people. And you get a bad rap.
The concern is you get people in the locker room going, they don't take care of anybody, and then they're going to drive a harder bargain and want to get out or ask to be traded.
Yeah.
Because you take a guy like McLaurin and you don't take care of him, they're going to start thinking, well, they don't take care of him, they're not going to take care of me. I need to do what's in my best interest. Let me try to get out. Let me try to force a trade and go someplace where someone's going to pay me. That's the risk you run.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't take care of a locker room leader who is one of your best players on the team. And also, you need a good PR story as well. So he's got that going in his advantage.
Yep.
Absolutely. I know how plugged in you are around the league. Judging on kind of everything I hear here in Ashburn and publicly and privately, I think they'll get a deal done, and some of it is the PR side of it that you mentioned. You think they get a deal done? How do you feel it shakes out between the Commanders and McLaurin?
Yeah, I think they'll get a deal done. I think they'll bite the bullet and do what they have to do. I'm curious to see the length of the contract, though. If I'm one of these receivers, seeing that Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill have gotten a second lucrative veteran contract, I want to give up no more than 3 new years to try to get another bite of the apple, personally.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So we'll see length of contract. That could be the key issue as well.
So more of a tear up the current, I'll give you 4 years from now, instead of I'm going to play out the rookie deal and a four-year extension on top kind of thing?
Nobody really tears it up because you're negotiating over new money. You're for the most part.
Right.
Every veteran negotiation I had was over the new money. You don't act like the year doesn't exist, even though I think that's kind of what D DJ Moore did, if you look at how the value is. I think Drew Rosenhaus was like, Christian Kirk is making 72 over four. I need more than that over four. He did a three-year extension for DJ Moore. Turned out to be 73, so he may have worked backwards that way. The new money averages $20.628 million, but really most negotiations are over new money.
Gotcha. Very interesting. Well, Joel, we'd be crazy not to ask you some actual football stuff as well. Much of this Commander season rides on the right arm of a guy that's been run out of town in his last two spots. What do you make of Carson Wentz in 2022 as a franchise quarterback?
Yeah, you're right. You can nail on the head. If he plays well, you're right there in the playoff mix. If you get the one that Philadelphia didn't like, you're probably going to cut bait with him next year, man. He's looking to hopefully start somewhere. I'm surprised that the Colts gave up on him after 1 year when you give up a third-round pick and a first-round pick. Typically, you try to make that work for at least the second year. Statistically, 2021 wasn't much different than 2019. But the way the season ended, and I guess the non-vaccinated status left a bad taste in Ursay's mouth, the owner. That being said, the biggest surprise to me was that Washington took on the full salary. I don't know what other competition there was to go out to acquire Carson Wentz via trade, but I thought the biggest thing would have been getting the Colts to eat part of the salary, since they were going to be on the books for $15 million if they cut him.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the thing. I think the situation, Joel, was that they made the comment that they had to get a quarterback, so they got the one they can get, the one that didn't have he can block a trade, and those guys that wasn't coming here, so they went and got the one that they could force to come. And I think that's why that deal was worked like it was.
Yeah, but I'm thinking if you're paying full freight for that one was the most questionable part of the trade, more so than the compensation. I know Russell Wilson decided he didn't want to come back to his roots, the D.C., DMV the area, but still, the full freight, if he plays well, it doesn't matter, because $81 million, $81.7 over 3 years for a quarterback, for a starting quarterback who plays well, that's peanuts in today's
world. Yeah. Do you think a part of not working, not pressing the Colts to eat some of the deal on their end was a mistake, but do you think the Commanders taking on the full cap hit this year rather than reworking the deal themselves and spreading it out a little bit is a risk reward because they want to be able to just get out of the Carson Wentz business if it goes sideways?
Yeah, it preserves flexibility, which I would have done. I have no problem with that. Given that the Eagles gave up on him, I still think he's the second-best quarterback in the division behind Dak Prescott. And then Indianapolis, with his guy there, Frank Wright, couldn't save him. I'm not doing what the Titans did with Julio Jones, that after acquiring him off of an injury-plagued season, then restructured his contract. So now they'd make them a post-June 1 designation. They're going to have $8.4 million of dead money next year and $4.8 this year. It's a clean exit right now if things go wrong. So I understand exactly why the contract has been left intact.
All right.
Me too. It's just it's a marriage with a prenup. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we really love this guy, but we're not going to do anything with this deal just in case.
Kind of rent to own.
Yeah. Well said. Well said. Hey, we really appreciate your time, man. Love to check back in with you later this summer.
Oh, sure. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. That is Joel Corey, CBS Sports. Give him a follow at Corey Joel, one of the sharpest minds when it comes to understanding the NFL salary cap there is in this business. I think I'm ready to open the phones up. I think people have a lot they want to say. I'm guessing they want to talk Chase Young, Terry McLaurin, new contracts, Carson Wentz. Let's get it all going when we return right here on B. Mitch and Finley.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.